Another year brings new and old faces together for the common goal of striving for academic and athletic excellence. The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 in conjunction with Hawaii Pacific University proudly presents Sharks Weekly, a deep dive into HPU athletics and who are this week's standout performers. Which program is making a splash in the classroom, community, and on the field? What are the upcoming schedules? All these questions answered and more. Coming live from the HPU Esports Arena, powered by DSC Hawaii, on the Hawaii Pacific University campus at Aloha Tower Marketplace. Here's your host, Hawaii Pacific University's Vice President and Chief Marketing Communications Officer, Jeffrey Rich.
Aloha, Sharks Nation. Welcome to another edition of Sharks Weekly. And hey, we are really excited. We have another little bit different show this morning than we normally have. We've got some very special guests with us. Today, we are going to be speaking with the producer of a documentary film series entitled The Rivalries. And let me start by just telling you a little bit about what the series is about. And then we're going to talk about HPU's inclusion in an upcoming episode. So the series was created. It's a partnership with the NCAA, and the goal is to present lesser-known rivalry stories from schools and athletic programs all over the country. You know, not just the big-time D1 programs that we so often hear about. You know, big games in football and basketball. These are stories that are just as interesting, just as exciting, but not often told. Each story focuses on a different region, different university, different sport. There's a very intentional, considered balance of both men's and women's sports being included. And by working with each school and the coaches and the players and the communities as well, the series can really shine a light on these fascinating stories and give them a platform that they otherwise wouldn't have had. You know, as I've said, we've all heard about, you know, things between Michigan and Ohio State and football or the big Army-Navy game every year. But there are so many fascinating stories from schools and programs all over the country. You know, for example, did you know that there are two rural schools in South Dakota that have an annual NCAA D2 football game where they fight over the Gold Pan Trophy? And that's been going on for 150 years. That's a long time. And quite a rivalry has built up in that region of the country. Or the five universities that share a single campus in Southern California, where they have one of the most heated tennis rivalries in all of college sports. These are the stories that the series The Rivalries tries to bring to life. And we are excited to have the executive producer of that series with us on air this morning, with a growing list of credits to his name, including such productions as NFL Takedown, Halloween Wars, Kitchen Crash, Cake Boss. You're smiling as I call these out. Sweet Home Oklahoma, Cooks versus Cons, and many others. I'd like to welcome to the show the executive producer of those and of those productions, as well as The Rivalries, Shane Bissett. Shane, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jeff. Happy to be here. You walked me through memory lane on that credit list there.
Wow. You know, I mean, that you got some interesting titles there. But, you know, hey, before we talk a little bit about maybe those, and then I want to obviously get into the episode of the series that you're going to be shooting here with HPU. But, you know, how did you get into this? Tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you get into film production and more about, you know, where this idea came from?
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, a quick background on me, you know, I went to film school. I graduated in 08 and I kind of always wanted to make movies. I linked up with a kind of notable director, a guy named Jonathan Demme, who famously directed Silence of the Lambs in Philadelphia, and worked with him for 2 years and did a lot of nonfiction documentary work with him. And then just kind of fell into the reality and cooking world, doing competition shows, many of which you just mentioned. And then, you know, I'm such a sports nerd, and what happens in my business, if you do kind of one type of production, you really get typecast into those types of productions. And I had created this show, NFL Tailgate Takedown, that you mentioned, and that was just from my love of sports. I have all these cooking credits, and the only thing I could get made was our cooking shows. So, well, what if I do like a football cooking show, and then I'll like connect with the NFL films. And that was kind of my first sports credit. And I started doing some work with them. And then when the rivalries came about, I linked up in season two with LG, who produces the series. And I just got involved with them and just became a part of this fantastic series.
Was the original idea theirs, or did they come to you, or did you have the idea and approach them? How did it kind of get off the ground?
Sure. So it was something where, so the NCAA partnered with LG and they knew that they had this partnership and they wanted to create something. They didn't know what. They knew they wanted to create video content to advertise, to kind of like get this partnership going. And so they asked Kellen Dangler, who's my partner in this production, the other executive producer, and Kellen had pitched, I think this was the first idea. And basically the rivalries was born. We knew we had this NCAA connection. It was a great pitch. Hey, there's all of these rivalries out there that folks don't know about. To the point of your intro, you think Michigan versus Ohio, you don't think of Augsburg versus Wartburg. And I'll tell you, that's a great rivalry. And I can tell you about that one. And that's just where the idea came from. So, you guys will be episode 14 or 15 now. And we've just gotten to work with some amazing schools, find some great stories. I mean, it's been incredible.
Wow. Yeah. A great story is a great story, whether it's from a school that everybody's heard of or one that nobody's heard of. When you think back about the episodes that you've done now, as part of the rivalries, you tell us a couple stories that really stand out, when you think about just things that were just fascinating or interesting or funny, or, when you think back through the history, what really rises to the top for you?
Sure. I mean, I there might be some recency bias here, but we had the luxury of doing one of our first hour long episodes was our last episode. And that was a rivalry I just alluded to, which was in Division III wrestling for the last 30 years. Only two teams have won the national championship, and it's Augsburg University in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Wartburg College in Waverly, Iowa. And they're two schools I wasn't familiar with. I'd never heard of these schools. And it's just, just that statistic alone blew me away, right? And then you go to these towns, you've got Waverly, Iowa, and you go to a town where they're a wrestling town. That's their, for them, those are their major league baseball heroes. That's their superstars or their college D3 wrestlers. And that's a rivalry like that. You don't hear about, and you just, when you're there, you realize how important it is to these people. They have this annual event called the Battle of the Bergs, where Augsburg and Wartburg compete. And we went this year, it was in Minneapolis this year, and it was 1,000+ people in a small arena, and it was deafeningly loud. And a rivalry like that was just incredible to chronicle.
I hope you weren't in Minnesota in the winter.
You know what? We lucked out with the weather. We really did. We were just there doing the championship. Was just a couple weeks ago. Spoiler alert, the streak is still going. It got a little hairy there. We had 72 degree weather in Minneapolis the day I was there. So we were really blessed that day.
Yeah, there's nothing that's related to global warming that can happen that's not a good thing for Minnesota, unfortunately, for the rest of us. But no, Augsburg is a school I know real well. I used to work at one of their rivals, the College of St. Scholastica. So we played Augsburg.
Oh, there you go.
A lot of different things every year. Yeah. What about individual stories? Are there, stories of individual student athletes that, resonated with you even today that you just think about and just think, wow, what an accomplishment? Or give us a one or two that stand out.
Sure. Yeah. The first one that comes to mind is there's this rivalry you mentioned actually in your introduction. There's the five C's. It's five colleges that share a campus. And one, you'd see there's two athletic programs between the five colleges, CMS and Pomona-Pitzer. And one of the students that we met, she's a young tennis student athlete named Alicia Chulani. And when we were just doing our pre-interviews with her, we knew she was the best player on CMS's team. She was the number one seed. And as we're talking to her, I just realized, she's going to school for engineering. She's studying robotics. I asked her what she was doing the week like the weekend of the match, and the morning of her match at 6 a.m., she had to drive to the beach because they were going to place one of their underwater robots that was going to collect data when dropped into the ocean. And she was doing that all while she was going to compete in the number one match, you know, in tennis later that afternoon. So Alicia is someone who, you know, I'm 37. I don't have kids. I deal with college students often. And she was someone who I was just like, oh, the world's going to be okay. Like, if there's enough Alicia Chulanis out there who, you know, are building robots because, and I failed to mention this, she cares about climate change and she wants to be a part of that change. And she wants to use her engineering degree at Harvey Mudd to help change the world. Someone like that is someone who just like really blows my mind. And you can see how the tennis program just kind of kept her going and, you know, gives her that discipline to kind of work harder every day.
Yeah. It's a great story. I imagine there's, you know, thousand of those stories that we can uncover. And you're doing your part and trying to uncover them with the series. Hey, we're going to take a quick commercial break and then we're going to come back and talk about the rivalries. And we're going to bring HPU's tennis coach into the conversation, talk about your upcoming episode. So you are listening to Sharks Weekly. I'm your host, Jeff Rich, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Sharks Weekly on the Hawaii Sports Radio Networks, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
And we are back. You know, hey, so we, for those that want to see what's happening, just a reminder that you can always go to the Hawaii Sports Radio Network's YouTube channel and you can see the recording of the live stream today. We're actually not live today. We're recording this episode, but you'll be hearing it on Thursday morning. But if you want to come and check out the conversation on YouTube, please do so. So we're talking to Shane Bissett. He is the executive producer of a series called The Rivalries, and they chronicle Division II mostly sports. Is it all Division II, Shane, or do you ever dip down into D3, or do you stay at the D2 ranks?
Yeah, we do D2 and D3, and I will say we've done, you know, one or two D1s if the story is really unique. So we just did one that was Harvard and Dartmouth, but it was women's rugby, and that seemed, you know, it just seemed unusual enough that it was a story we should tell. So
yeah, I saw that. That was really well done and a very interesting story.
Thank you.
But let's, all right, so let's talk about how we got together here. So, you know, so you were looking for interesting stories. You were trying to look for interesting regions, I imagine, of the country to tell those stories. And you kind of stumbled onto HPU and UH Hilo. And before I let you tell the story of why that became interesting to you, let me bring into the conversation HPU's head tennis coach. Hendrik, you have been on the show before. You've been a guest a couple times now, and I've had the good fortune to interview you, and you brought along some amazing student athletes. But maybe, you know, please reintroduce yourself and let our listeners get reacquainted with your journey to HPU before we get back to discussing the upcoming episode.
Thanks, Jeff. Yeah, thanks for having me again. It's always been a pleasure being on this show. Yeah, I mean, I've been with HPU for almost 20 years. I think it's been 19 years, going on 20. And, you know, I was a student athlete here, played for 3 years on the men's tennis team, and then was lucky enough to, you know, be given the opportunity to take over the men's tennis program after I finished my master's. So it was a pretty, unique opportunity, and have done that ever since. I think I've, you know, loved every day of it. And, you know, some days are more challenging than others. But within that journey, I mean, I'm originally from Germany, you know, in a small little village. I grew up, and, you know, it was about 4 weeks of contemplation. And that's all it took. How I ended up here, I was supposed to go to a different school. Things didn't work out, and at the time the then head coach just quickly responded to one of my emails, and 4 weeks later I was here and never left. There really isn't any reason for me to leave at this point. I met my wife here at two beautiful kids, so that's been pretty special, and I think HPU has always played a very special role in it, and what it provides for our tennis programs. It's something I'm to this day very passionate about. And you know, as a program, I think we've accomplished quite a bit with what we've been given. You know, we've won a national championship in 16, multiple runner-up trophies, conference championships. And I think that's something that motivation continues to keep us going. And along with it also are, you know, rivalries like the one with UH Hilo that make competing just much more fun.
Yeah. And you know, speaking of interesting stories, now your wife was the former women's coach here at HPU. So that alone would be an interesting story. Yeah. But you're also doing some dual duty right now with the women's team.
Yeah. I mean, as you just mentioned, my wife was the women's coach for past 15 years. We have always done that together. And I think that's created a very family-oriented program. I think that's what Hawaii is about. It's about Ohana and about family. And, you know, that's something that has always been very important to us, to treat our athletes like they have a place that feels like home. Because for most of the student athletes we have on our programs, they are from faraway places. And, you know, that's certainly been special over the last 15 years. And, you know, we try to continue to keep that aspect of our programs going.
Yep. Now you mentioned, you know, as you were introducing, you know, your journey, you know, that you came out to Hawaii and never left. When you thought about coming out here as a student athlete, had you been to Hawaii before, or was it your first experience? I mean, what was that like?
No, I had never been to Hawaii. The only place I had been was Chicago for Christmas when I was 16 years old. So this was certainly a very, very different and yeah, just a very different experience for sure. But I really didn't know what to expect, to be honest. I had no idea. I just, you know, obviously knew Hawaii was a beautiful place, but 25-hour flight. And after that, the first couple of days, obviously, I was just stunned and never left.
Never left. It's a common story, Shane. You hear that a lot here from people that have come out here, whether it be their first visit or many times, and just don't want to leave. It's that kind of a special place. So, you know, I imagine that was factored into your sourcing of an interesting story and the desire to come to Hawaii and tell one of the stories here.
It was. I mean, absolutely. Not from the selfish producer in me that just wants, you know, the trip to Hawaii, but truly, all of our episodes do tend to follow different regions. You know, we did a hockey episode following two Alaskan hockey teams, and that's just, it's different. Our B-roll looks different. It's different stories. It's different people. And certainly Hawaii was one that we've wanted to do, and we were just looking for the right story. The way we actually found out about rivalries, it was kind of reverse engineered. We knew we wanted to, we've been trying to follow teams that have had some real success, especially in terms of national championships. So, you know, the way we discovered it, I looked at the list of the last several years of who has won national championships, and found Hawaii Pacific. And I believe it was that year, I might be mistaken, it might have been another year, but I saw University of Hawaii at Hilo was in a bracket, but on the different end. And I thought, oh gosh, there's got to be a story there. So we just did some reach out, and Debbie Snell, the AD, said, yeah, this is a rivalry. This is real. And you guys were excited to be a part of it. And that's how this came together.
Yeah. So Hendrick, you know, HPU is, you know, very successful program in tennis, as well as some other sports that we tend to excel in. You know, when you thought about, you know, who was the natural rivalry for your program, you know, what brought Hilo, to the top of the thinking, and tell us a bit about, you know, that rivalry and how the players view it, how you view it. But what's special about playing UH Hilo?
Let me start off by saying that this is probably the most aloha rivalry you'll find. I think the way we approach these matches is always with a ton of mutual respect for each other. It's never gotten, I might want to say nasty. In a competitive aspect, it's always been competitively supportive. I think Shane, what you just mentioned, I actually distinctly remember that day where both of our programs played in the Final Four of the NCAA championships. And the minute, sorry, this was after the quarters, the minute UH Hilo won their quarterfinal, they walked over to them, to our match, and started cheering for us. There's another scenario where we had lost against another conference school in the conference championship semis, and Hilo made the finals. We cheered them on the entire way. I think it's just supporting other schools that are in a very unique place like Hawaii that makes this rivalry very special. Now, that being said, we're not friends when we're competing, obviously, but I think that that's a, you know, maybe a good background to this rivalry. We genuinely, I think, push each other to be better. We play each other a lot. You know, I think this year we play more times, you know, just in regular season matches. So it's a lot of what we get to see off each other. And yeah, it's been pretty special, to be honest, you know, and they've done really well. We've done really well. And it's really, really cool to have that right around the corner.
It looks like at least of late that HPU has gotten a little bit of the better of them recently, you know, strong historical competitors. But the program you built has just done really well of late. And so it seems like that's one that you guys, I'm sure, circle at the beginning of the year and get up for and, you know, have a little extra in the gas tank, you know, when it's time to play Hilo. So I imagine, Shane, that's something that you look for. You know, what are the qualities? Take us back to, you know, kind of the considerations that you look to and, you know, what makes for a good rivalry and more so, you know, when do you pull the trigger and say, that's one that we want to cover?
Sure. I mean, so, you know, candidly, we kind of knew we wanted to cover this even before talking to Hendrick and hearing all these stories and actually hearing about what this the real rivalry is like. I have to say, I mean, already I'm taking notes just on things Hendrick is saying, because these are the kinds of things I never want to manipulate the rivalry, right? If it's not one that's really heated or ugly, I'm not going to pretend that it is. And to me, I just hear it's like, oh, of course, this is the most aloha rivalry I'm going to find. And those are the kinds of aspects that I think that's just the way the story is naturally going to go, because that's the truth. And our docuseries just kind of honors whatever the truth is here. Sometimes the rivalries are really heated. You know, we did one in softball, MSU versus Augustana, and Augustana University wasn't allowed to wear purple because that was their rival's colors. And no way are you allowed to wear purple. Obviously, this one seems different, and those are the kind of qualities we like to follow.
Very nice. Well, hey, we are going to take another quick commercial break. You are listening to Sharks Weekly on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, AM 760, FM 95.1. I'm your host, Jeff Rich, and we will be right back.
You're listening to Sharks Weekly on the Hawaii Sports Radio Networks, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
And we are back, not broadcasting live today, but via Zoom, and we are not from the amazing HPU Esports Arena powered by DSE Hawaii on the campus of Hawaii Pacific University at Aloha Tower Marketplace, but rather we are in cyberspace today recording via Zoom. We're talking about a college series called The Rivalries that chronicles lesser known stories of competitive programs across the country. And with us today, we've got the executive producer of that series, Mr. Shane Bissett. So Shane and Hendrick, when you guys, you know, got together and said, okay, we're going to do this, we're going to chronicle this rivalry with Hilo, you know, what happens from there on out, right? I imagine, you know, Hendrick, you've got regimented practice schedules, you're trying to keep the team focused. But I imagine, you know, when you have, you know, a film crew come in and want to draw out stories and capture that, it throws a little bit of disruption into, you know, into the practice schedule. So, you know, let me first start by asking you, Shane, you know, tell us, kind of break down, you know, how do you draw these stories out? How do you approach production? How do you get in depth and really, you know, get to know the program and the athletes quickly so you can identify and tell those stories? And then I want to come back to you, Hendrick, and talk about, you know, as a coach, how do you minimize, you know, that that intrusiveness sometimes and keep the team focused. So Shane, tell us a bit about, you know, how production works.
Sure. Yeah. Well, first and foremost, I usually tell the coach, it's like, hey, coach, I'm on your schedule. So whatever you can give us, I'm going to take and I'm going to try my best to stay out of your way, which we do a good job at. So no worries about that, coach. I promise we won't be a nuisance. Typically, what we like to do is we like to find out what are those schedules. You know, we know that these are college athletes. They have very rigid schedules, and we try to find out organically what is going on. So in terms of practices, training, weightlifting, any group activities, if there's something already on the books and I'm allowed to cover it, I ask permission if we can film that. And usually, you know, at organized events, we're flies on the wall. You know, we know, for instance, those athletes want to have music playing as they're practicing, and that doesn't do well for our sound, but I'm not going to tell them to do anything else because we know we don't want to interfere with their process. And then in terms of actually getting in depth, what I like to do is I usually ask the coach, hey, can you identify three or four athletes who are really good representatives of the team? And 99 times out of 100, the coach identifies the most interesting, most well-spoken, you know, best, most interesting athletes that I can interview. And then once I'm connected with them, I do what's called a pre-interview. I chat with them for an hour on the phone, get a sense of what the team is like, what the rivalry means to them, just kind of become their friends. I'm a friendly enough guy that I'm always curious about people, so I learn as much as I can. And then figure out their schedules. And by the time I arrive, I've spoken to coaches, spoken to the team, and I think I have a pretty good idea of what the story is this year and what I need to follow.
Very nice. I imagine in the course of those discussions too, that, you know, you're finding, you know, the angles and the stories you want to tell. How often though, does that lead to something really unexpected, you know, sort of a side story that really becomes one of the main focuses of that episode?
Sure. I mean, it's pretty often, you know, like right away. For instance, I was speaking to Coach Callen, who's the coach over at Hilo today, and he had mentioned that he's played against Henrik here, both as an athlete and as a coach. And that's something I did not know. I was not expecting. And I'm going to go after that angle when I interview him. You know, what is the difference? So there's always something unexpected. And certainly, everything is interesting, you know, and you can certainly make things more interesting. We were interviewing the last episode I did, coach had given us one athlete. We should really follow this kid, Sam Stoll. And as we're interviewing him, I find out his brother is also starting on the team, and coach hadn't mentioned that. And that's just something where, well, I want to follow that family element. And it's, you know, sure enough, their father wrestled on the same team years ago. And then there's a legacy there. So all of those things are interesting, and it's always fun to kind of go down those rabbit holes.
Very cool. All right. So the natural question to you, Henrik, do you remember those matches and tell us a little bit about them?
I remember playing against Hilo, definitely. I mean, that's always been one. And as I've mentioned, we play them a lot. Like, that's just a natural, you know, competitor here on island. So I don't specifically remember playing Callen. I do remember playing against a team. I don't think we actually played, but I think the teams played each other. But obviously coaching against him, that's, you know, very fresh and very recent. So that's also been, you know, it's been great because there's, I think from a starting point, there was a lot of mutual respect from the get go. And it's been good.
Very nice. Well, you know, Shane, that sounds like a research opportunity to dig into the past and kind of see how those teams competed against one another. You know, Henrik, how do you keep the team focused though? I imagine this is sort of a special occasion. You know, student athletes don't get this opportunity to tell their story that often. So it's a privilege to have a crew come on campus and document those stories, but does it become a distraction? How do you, you know, kind of keep the team focused on the goal?
No, I think there's more excitement around it than anything else, which at this point in the season, I feel like we've been on the road for the last 2 weeks, and, you know, they've played a lot of tennis. We've practiced a lot leading up to it. And, you know, that daily focus is sometimes lost just because of the amount of work they're putting in and the amount of, you know, not necessarily pressure, but having a goal in mind sometimes leads to some tensions. And I think this is certainly something we're at this point in the season where we can use it as motivation. This is something really cool. And as you just said, we don't get this opportunity a lot. And I think that's probably what the series is about, like telling some of these stories about, you know, schools that maybe don't get the exposure. So they're all excited about it. And I feel like, you know, if anything, it's just going to lead to a more motivated group.
Yep. And Shane, what does production look like? We're hitting the end of March here. You know, the season, you know, is not too much longer here. The school year will be coming to an end, but what does production look like? When are you going to shoot? How long do you shoot? But give us a little taste of what the production schedule looks like.
Sure. So, you know, we're going to arrive next week, and it looks like we're going to be filming Tuesday, Wednesday, just to give you a heads up there, Coach. You know, our plan, we're a smaller crew. We're about 6 or 7 people. Usually what we'll do is 12-hour days. And then based on what the team schedule is, I'm there for those practices. I'm there for any training. And I'll try to book interviews around that. Typically what we also need to do is film a lot of B-roll. You know, we're there for 2 days, but we want to see what Honolulu is like. We want to see what the campus is like. We want to see that Aloha Tower. So fitting in B-roll is something we try to do as well. We usually embed with each team for 2 days, which is always enough for our half hour episodes. That's how our production schedule works. The other thing I'll mention is certainly if Hawaii Pacific does well and kind of goes through these tournaments and ends up in maybe in another NCAA championship tournament, we'd certainly, we'll cross our fingers for that. And if that arrives, hopefully we would get to come out and kind of film that as well. So we'll see how that goes.
So would you know, that would be an opportunity to hold before you finalize the production to see, you know, what, you know, did they make the PacWest final, for example, and then add on to the documentary with a wrap up if, you know, if both teams were to make it, you know, into a match or play in the finals, you'd come back out and want to capture that as part of this story, it sounds like. Potentially.
Yeah. I mean, if you're willing to have us, and certainly, you know, we're committed to making this episode, which is a half hour special, but yeah, if we see in a few weeks, if both teams are doing really well and we had a great time on that first time, you know, we might say, hey, we hear you guys are going to regionals or going, you know, and certainly we would want to come out and follow, but obviously no pressure. That's if things work out well on this first run.
Well, I think that would be our hope that we make it to the finals and yeah, we add on to the story, hopefully with a D2 championship. Shane, do your stories extend into, you know, social and recreational activities with the teams or the individual athletes? For example, does a story of, you know, one of your featured athletes maybe extend into something maybe more on the personal side, or is it say strictly focused on the rivalry and the team dynamic?
Yeah, no, we do. We call them lifestyle scenes. You know, we like to know what college life is like for student athletes. So once we identify who those 4 student athletes are, I'll usually in my conversations ask if they have anything coming up this week. And certainly we follow those. You know, once in a while it's, hey, this pitcher that we follow is actually, he mentors younger pitchers at high school level. So we'll follow that and make that part of the story. Or, you know, I mentioned Alisa Chulani had this robotics thing going on. So we followed that. So certainly we do follow things in terms of what they do outside of school. You know, we had a call with Hendrick the other day, and he mentioned that, you know, you live in this outdoor paradise. So you might have kids who want to go out, you know, go on a hike together. Maybe, I don't know. My boss said, hey, do any of the kids surf? We'd love to film some kids surfing. So yeah, we like to follow what's going on in their lives outside, off the court as well.
Yeah, there's no shortage of epic, you know, venues here with activities from hiking to surfing to, you know, it's such a dynamic area to live in and just a diversity of environments to see. So we're going to come back to that in a second, but we are going to head out for another commercial break first. You are listening to Sharks Weekly on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Jeff Rich. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk more about the rivalries.
You're listening to Sharks Weekly on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network's 95.1 FM and AM 760.
And we are back. You're listening to Sharks Weekly. And hey, I want to give a quick shout out to our amazing sponsors, without whom we would not be here talking to you today. First, let me thank the Kawazoe Group. Kawazoe Group is a proud sponsor of Hawaii Pacific University and its sports programs, and NYA Water. Don't leave the quality of your drinking water and your health to chance. YA Water has atmospheric water generators that create clean, pure, eco-friendly drinking water right from the air. So thank you to those sponsors that help our sports and our athletes excel. So let's come back and let's talk a bit more about the rivalry. So we were just talking about, you know, how the production comes together, how you find narratives within the broader narrative of the rivalry. You know, Hendrick, do you guys have anything planned? You know, I know one of the questions I always ask, you know, you and the other programs that come on the program is tell us about, you know, the team dynamic, team activities, service days, things like that, that bring the team together off, in your case, the tennis court. But anything special planned that you guys are going to pull together and try and demonstrate some social or recreational activities? And at the same time, you know, just show some visuals of just this, you know, amazing place that we all live.
We'll figure that out on Sunday.
that's a work in progress.
At this point in the season, most of the planning we do is based on what we feel like the team needs for, you know, these upcoming matches. I mean, naturally, the focus is on the upcoming matches on the 6th and 7th, and then we actually leave on a trip on the 9th. So, you know, we want to be careful as to, you know, what is it that the athletes need? Do we have a lot of schoolwork that they still need to finish up? They might need some more time off. But, you know, that being said, we'll definitely fill in with some outside activities. I mean, they're easy ways for us to have fun as a group together while getting in a good workout, you know, whether that's a hike or that's just some, you know, fun beach games or, you know, maybe it is surfing. Waves aren't so good on the South Shore at this time of year, but, you know, it's certainly something we can.
That's true. Do you have some surfers we'll put on the schedule? Every sports program I've had on, it seems like, you know, surfing is the dominant sport or the dominant activity outside of their core sport. But how's men's and women's tennis stacked for surfers?
I would say we don't have surfers on the team. I think we have student athletes that surf every now and then.
there's a
pretty big difference. Yeah, there is a distinction. No, I mean, it's something all of them have tried for sure. I mean, it's a very fun activity. There is some, yes, that go more frequently than others.
Yeah. Shane, have you ever surfed? You've been on a board?
Oh gosh, look at me. No, you know what? I love the ocean and I grew up, my family had a beach house in North Carolina. My dad had this crazy idea where he would let us go into the water in hurricane season. So I'm really good at fighting waves that I have no business fighting, but, no, I've never been surfing, but maybe I'll try it when I visit.
Well, where in North Carolina, Outer Banks or,
South of the Outer Banks, south of Wilmington, a town called Oak Island, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah, so. I know that. They serious surfing.
Oh, do you?
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hendrick, what's your non-tennis recreational sport activity of choice? When you're not thinking about tennis or all, is there another sport or recreational activity you enjoy?
Surf, golf.
Surf and golf.
I started playing some pickleball on the side. I would say anything outdoors I'm usually game for. You know, pretty active, but yeah, surf and golf are probably the most prevalent.
Yeah, anything outdoors being the key. You know, Shane, as you think about you know, heading into this production and then, you know, things coming down the pike, you know, are there other interesting rivalries that you guys have come across that you're thinking about for future productions? But, you know, are there some sports or regions or, you know, opportunities on the horizon that you think tell interesting stories that you're going to be thinking about down the road?
Yeah, I mean, we've done a lot of different, we're always looking for new sports that we haven't gotten to try. We would really love to do water polo, actually, is one that we're really interested in. You know, we talk a lot about bowling just because we're always surprised that that's an NCAA sport. One just came to mind. We always want to do golf because I'm a big golf fan as well. But something like golf might be harder for our documentary series to follow. You know, I don't know how interesting and compelling we can make that. Not to knock golf, just in terms of our format, it's, you know, it's just harder to follow.
I was going to say, there's golfers all over the country saying, what? Golf's an interesting sport.
No, I hope that doesn't come off that way. Just the way in which we film and edit, like live golf, I love. It's captivating. But when you cut it down, it's harder to kind of tell the stories of golfing visually. Whereas like tennis, it's very clear the matches, how the matches are going on. It's, I can clearly lay that out. Golf is just trickier. And then in terms of other stories, you know, it's funny you mentioned Army, Navy, football. Army Navy's baseball rivalry is just as heated, and that's one that we've been trying to make happen, and that might happen this year. And then some other ones. Oh, we're thinking about doing a rowing episode this year. So that's kind of what's coming up next. Women's rowing, it's really cool. And then their national championship, that's one that would be really fun to film with drones and getting in the water. So we've got some fun ones on the horizon.
Very cool. Well, I'm sure that there's going to be some new ideas that come out of your experience here in Hawaii. You know, we've talked here about at HPU about getting a competitive outrigger canoe program going. You know, the canoe culture here on the island is big time. It's not an NCAA sport, obviously, but there's a huge competitive culture here. So HPU has a recreational canoe club, and we're looking to sort of bring that into more of a formal athletics environment. Talk about doing the same thing with competitive hula dancing, which is also, you know, a cultural, you know, focus here. But again, it all speaks to just different, you know, different focuses in different regions of the country. And I know that's a big part of what you're trying to do, is to, you know, find those interesting nuances to the diversity of places in this country and bring those stories to life. So what a great mission. How many seasons have you done now in the rivalries?
So this is our third season. So we've got four more episodes that we're doing this season. That's going to cover spring sports. And then we'll be done. And then next season will be season four. And that'll be in the fall.
Are you locked in to, you know, keep going for a number of years, or is it, you know, like any TV series that, you know, every year is up for renewal?
Every year is up for renewal. So LG and LG Electronics and the NCAA, they're actually, I probably shouldn't get into it. So we'll see. we'll totally see. Hopefully, you know, everyone's really loved the show. We're really proud of it. You know, this is, I think, exactly what both the NCAA and LG wanted with this partnership. And I will feel very blessed if I get to keep doing more episodes, because it's always fun to meet coaches and student athletes and folks like yourself, Jeff, who just I wouldn't have met in my regular life, and I'm glad I know you now. So we hope we get more episodes.
Thanks. And you know, and LG is a great brand in and of itself, and you know, we want to thank LG and the NCAA for this great idea and giving programs and schools like ours a platform to tell the stories, because they're just so interesting, and yeah, they don't get the justice, not, you know, being a part of perhaps a bigger time athletics program or better known school. Shane, you know, where did you go to school? Did you, were you an athlete, or what were your activities back in your college days?
Yeah, no, I went to Temple University in Philadelphia, PA. So, you know, we're a huge basketball school. My dad actually was a basketball coach and taught kids who played at Temple. I did not inherit his athletic genes, and was always the art student. I was always making movies. I played soccer in high school, but I was never good enough to compete at the collegiate level.
Yeah. You know, I think back, I was a football player in college, and I got recruited to play at the University of Central Florida. And it was a D2 program at the time. But our head coach was Lou Saban, who was a former NFL head coach. He coached the Denver Broncos and coached the Buffalo Bills back when O.J. Simpson played there. And I remember from that experience, it was a difficult experience for me as a student athlete, but even for the program, bringing in a pro football coach who was not used to dealing with college students. And for those that know Lou Saban and his history, you know, he was not the easiest guy to play for or get along with, extremely demanding, and created an interesting atmosphere that was more like a pro sort of environment than a college environment. And that was really difficult, and probably a ton of stories coming out of that experience. So that was interesting. You know, what else, you know, what, when you think about, you know, other interesting highlights in your career, Shane, whether it's in the rivalries or other productions that you've been involved in, you know, tell us, you know, is there any other interesting or funny story that you could, you know, share with us?
Oh gosh, put me on the spot with that one. None that I can think of immediately. I'm so sorry. I don't have something better for you right now, Jeff. I'll have to think about that one.
That's okay. We'll hold you to that one. Wow. So Hendrik, what tell us, you know, what in terms of the team's progress this year, it's a great year, hopefully, to make it, you know, to the D2 finals and win that championship. You know, what's the team been up to, and how are you feeling as you head in, you know, get closer to the PacWest tourney and all?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, we just came off a long 12-day road trip. We were in California and Texas, and just got back on Tuesday. I thought the team went really well. We went 6-2, I think. I had one tough loss, one loss where, to be perfectly honest, we just didn't show up. It was the first match of the road trip, and you know, just yeah, just weren't ready for it. But built from there, got a lot better. Team chemistry is great. I feel like this is a group that's gotten very close. And you know, I shared with the team as we kind of came to close of the trip, like a big part of, you know, the first half of the season is just growing as a team and understanding, you know, how we operate in a competitive situation. You know, how do we handle adversity? How do we, you know, compete when we have a tough time competing hard? And you know, I think we've grown really in that aspect. And you know, now it's really time to, you know, put things together in terms of how well these guys can play. I think all of them have been recruited here for a reason. They all understand what our goals and ambitions are. You know, we always want to compete for conference championships. If we're in a position, a national championship, I think across the board for Division Two, it's just wide open. I would say a lot of it can be attributed to, you know, all of the extra COVID years athletes have gotten. They all ran out last year, so it's a complete reset. So, which makes it very exciting. But yeah, no, we're looking forward to it. But I feel really good about the progress we've made, and you know, can't wait for the next 8 weeks or so.
Very nice. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation, and I know we here at HPU are so excited, Shane, to have you and your team on campus. And I know Hendrik and the student athletes on the tennis team are excited about it. I very much hope that we make it to the PacWest Finals, and we can invite you back to catch the last half of this story, which hopefully will end in a championship here for the university. But I want to thank you both for joining us today. It was a fascinating conversation and a really interesting series. I encourage everybody to go out there and to check out the various episodes of The Rivalry. So thank you for joining us this morning. This has been Sharks Weekly with your host, Jeff Rich. And we will catch you next Thursday back live in studio. Everybody have a wonderful week.